Okay. We've been talking about the church and us as individual Christians. We talked about living a spirit-filled life last week, and that's where the power comes from. Power comes from our position in Christ, that was the week before, and from the infilling of the Spirit. And so we all desire to have the power to do what God's calling us to do. And today's message is about being zealous for good works. And just an amazing thing. I was reading this passage from Titus the other day, and it just really jumped out and grabbed me. And so we're going to kind of break it down just a little bit today. So we're in Titus 2, and we're going to be looking at especially verses 11 through 14. All right. Let's go ahead and stand for the reading of God's Word this morning from this passage. All right, starting at verse 11. For the grace of God that brings salvation has appeared to all men, teaching us that denying ungodliness and worldly lusts, we should live soberly, righteously, and godly in the present age, looking for the blessed hope and glorious appearing of our great God and Savior Jesus Christ, who gave himself for us, that he might redeem us from every lawless deed and purify for himself his own special people, zealous for good works. Let us pray. Lord, I just pray that you'll help us to be led by you, Lord, to be purified by you, to actually be partakers of your grace, and to make us zealous for good works. In Jesus' name I pray. Amen. Let's kind of break this down if you all want to have a seat. I think it's good from time to time just to stand in honor of the reading of God's Word. Sometimes why I don't necessarily do it is because the entire time it is God's Word. But in this, I look at that. The number one thing that I'm seeing from this is that it's all about God's grace. Do I get an amen from that? You know, none of this is really ours to do or to manufacture on our own. It's all about God's grace. Think about that word grace. Does anybody want to try to give a little definition of the word grace? Just speak up with it if you have one. Favor? Yeah. Definitely. Yes. When we get what we don't deserve, right? We do not deserve to be forgiven. You know, we live kind of in a society where if we just ask somebody to forgive us and we almost get upset if they don't do it right away, we almost feel like that forgiveness is like this deserved thing, you know? Well, it is commanded of us to forgive others. And so we should definitely work on that. But you know, I want you to understand the fact that a holy God sent Jesus to die for us. He didn't have to do that. And a lot of people will say, well, you know, why didn't God make many ways so that he could include more people? That just seems unfair. Guys, I'll tell you something. I know you all know this too. It was beyond anything we could imagine that he gave us a way, because of the way that he gave us was actually the life of his own son. You know, we've talked about this before, and I've never found anybody that said they were willing to give their son to help save me. Yeah, I mean, it's a weird question to ask, but I mean, honestly, none of us, you know, I mean, we love our children and everything. I think that's why God demonstrated it in that way, because it was supernatural. It went beyond what is natural. But when we look at this verse, you know, it just reminds us that it's the grace of God that brings salvation. It's the grace of God that brings salvation. We need to always remember that. Let me ask you something, guys. If it was grace that brought it into our life, is there anybody out there that can't receive it? There's nobody out there that can't receive it. You know, I mean, everybody is just as worthy of receiving it as I am. There's nobody that's unworthy of God's grace. Amen? Because really, I'm not worthy to deserve it anyways. And so therefore, whenever I see somebody that's not worthy to deserve it, then they're just like me. and I'm just like them. It's God's grace. It goes beyond anything that we can really imagine. And that's what it's all about. And there in that verse 11, it says it has appeared to all men. And it's interesting because we know there's some people that still haven't actually heard about Jesus. Okay? But it's appeared. Because in Romans chapter 1, it talks about how you can see the grace of God through His creation. Okay? And it begins to lead people to the place where they can then hear about the gospel. Now, it's us who's supposed to take it so that they can actually hear it and hear it explained to them so that they can receive it. But we've got this grace of God that appears to everybody. The second thing that I found from this is that the grace is found in our God and Savior, Jesus. You know, some people will argue, and they have a little bit of a hard time getting their mind wrapped around the fact that Jesus is God. And I've even had people sometimes that will say, well, it doesn't actually ever say that anywhere in the Bible, but right here, I mean, it just literally says it, doesn't it? It says, God and Savior, Jesus Christ. Amen? That's not God over here and then our Savior, Jesus Christ. It's saying He is both God and Savior. Okay, yes, He's Son in the Godhead and the Trinity, and I don't understand it all, but I do. It is something that God explains to us and shows us the reality of the Trinity. But what we see here is that this grace is found in, and I would say only in, God our Savior Jesus. Okay, and this is the Jesus who is God. You see, I know I sound like I'm doing a circle here, but I'm really not, because, guys, there's a whole lot of world religions that say there's a Jesus, but their Jesus isn't God, okay? Like, Islam believes in an Isa, who they would say is Jesus, but he's not God. And so that Jesus that they believe in doesn't have salvation. That Jesus that they believe in is not God, and he can't save them. In fact, Mormons don't believe that Jesus is really God. Okay? He kind of became a God, but he was originally born just kind of like a person, like me and you, but he achieved, maybe possibly, Godhead. In fact, they think that he was brothers with Satan, that he was spirit brothers with Satan, that they were kind of born and one went bad and the other one went good. Is that the Jesus that we believe in? Well, then that Jesus can't save them. You see, only the Jesus who is the great God and Savior Jesus, only that one brings grace unto salvation. Okay? Even in a Jehovah's Witness background, you know, what the Jehovah's Witnesses believe is that Jesus is a created being. He can't really be a created being and truly be God, can he? So that Jesus can't really save a person either, can he? Okay? That Jesus was just kind of a good example. And yeah, he was the one who died on a stake and not even a cross. You see where these little variations come in, they seem harmless. And so a lot of people would want to stand and say, well, you know, all ways lead to the same God, but really, it's not the same Jesus, is it? So what we understand is this grace is found in our God and Savior Jesus, right? Looking for that blessed hope, it says in verse 13, and glorious appearing of our great God and Savior, Jesus Christ. So important for us to grasp that. Guys, we are the ones with the message. Amen? You know it because you've experienced it. The Holy Spirit lives in you, so now it's our responsibility to take it everywhere we go. Live it. Teach it so that others can know that same grace. And the third thing that I wanted to pull out of this was from verse 14, who gave himself to redeem us. This Jesus gave himself to redeem us. That word redeem is an important word. We talk about it a lot, but I really want to grasp it. It means to buy back. To buy back from slavery, never to be sold again. And it's a very, very specific word that's important. Guys, do you know we were all slaves to sin before Jesus bought us back? We were stuck in that slavery. We couldn't get out on our own. It was only because he paid our debt price that we could get out. A slave in biblical terms isn't like what we think of as slavery here, like we had in the United States at the early founding of our country. The slavery that they're talking about is you actually owed a debt, and so you couldn't pay it, so you'd have to work it off. And you know, once we start to sin, we wind up owing a debt that we can never pay. So we're never going to be free from it. No one can outwork their sins and work good enough works to get out of that. Jesus had to come and give his life, being perfect, to pay for our sins. So he redeemed us. He gave himself to redeem us. It's all about his grace. It's all about the grace that's only found in him. And this is why it's only found in him, because only he gave himself to redeem us. And all this is found in just these few short verses. Number four, he did all of this to teach us and to set us free from sin. Can I get an amen to that? Not just so that we wouldn't have to pay the penalty for sin. Guys, he wants to rescue you from sin. Do you understand what I'm saying? He wants to rescue me from sin. You see, some of us in the Christian church get to thinking that Jesus just paid the price for our sins so that I won't have to pay for it on Judgment Day. Guys, that's true, but he actually did it to set you free from it today. Because you see, that slavery to sin destroys us. How many of you feel, you know, because we all stumble, right? We all stumble from time to time. How many of you just feel really close to God right after you stumble? Right after you sin, you go, there's a sense of guilt that comes over us. There's a sense of conviction is what they call that. And that's because if the Holy Spirit lives in you, he's not going to be okay sharing this tent with sin. And so like he convicts us right away, and then we're wondering, what can I do about this? And that's what all this walk of the Christian life is about. It's about that Jesus, in his grace, gave his life to redeem us, to buy us back, and then to teach us and set us free from sin. We look at verse 12 there. It says, teaching us that denying ungodliness and worldly lust, we should live soberly, righteously, and godly in the present age. And then verse 14, part of that verse says, from every lawless deed. You see, Jesus wants to set us completely free from the sin, and we don't have to wait until we enter into heaven to experience at least a measure of that. He'll be setting us free right now if we'll just let him. That's what it's really all about. And you see, all of this is necessary as we continue to follow the Scripture along. That's why I gave you a little handout that you have in your bulletin or whatever. If there's any of this you want to look over when you get home, you take that handout and look over it again. He wanted to teach us and set us free from sin because he has a purpose for us. The fifth point that I pull out of this is that he wants us, he's doing all of this for us to be pure and zealous for good works. You see, verse 14, the rest of that verse says, to purify for himself his own special people, zealous for good works. Man, I'm telling you, that's a high calling. Isn't that awesome? He himself came, lived a perfect life, gave his life, pulled us away from all of that sin and all that darkness we once lived in because we become his special people. We don't have to wait to get to heaven to find that out either, guys. You're his special people now. See, he loves you, and that's why he did this, was to separate you away from all of that ungodliness that brings so much sorrow on us. And what we find is it actually messes us up from that position that we can even really have the good works in our life. Because like if we're living in just constant disobedient sin, then he can't even really use us. We notice a couple things. There's a couple words that I want to break down from that, and that's that word redeemed. Yep. To be special, meaning like basically, by being special, we are his own. This is one of the definitions for it. One's own, chosen, special, choice, treasure. These are all words that are basically defined from this, that are synonymous to that word special. So what it means is he literally owns us. You know, we become his. When he buys us, we become his. We become one of his chosen ones, okay? We become one that is special to him. That's what that word, you know, is equal to. And a choice treasure to him, a costly possession. How much did it cost him to have us? His very own life. Purity. Guys, this is something. You notice that word pure is in there? Purity is not optional. You see, for His church, His own special people, purity is something that has to be sought after and found. Okay? Don't, at this point, you know, obviously none of us are perfect, but guys, we need to be striving toward Him and desiring purity in the inmost part. What happens if we sin? What should we do if we sin? We need to repent, right? And 1 John 1:9 tells us about that. It says, if we confess our sins, He is faithful and just to forgive us. And what's the last part of that? To cleanse us from all unrighteousness. Because you see, He's seeking to truly make us pure. And so we need to follow with Him in that. We need to do our part in that as He gives us opportunity. So in that purity not being optional, when we look at that word purity, it literally just means to cleanse, to make clean. That's where we need to be. And 1 John 1:9 tells us how to get there. But what happens in 1 John 1:9 if we don't confess our sin? Then it means we're going to stay in it, right? And a lot of people want to just take that, you know, all the way to the end and say, okay, are you trying to say I could lose my salvation? I'm not even going there. All I'm saying is if God's convicted us, we need to act on it. Amen? And I say do it immediately. Don't put it off because purity is not optional. Zealous means zealous or dedicated person. A lot of times we think of zealous as being a negative word. Okay? A lot of times we'll think of zealous as being like a zealot, because that's where that word comes from, a zealot. What do you think of when you think of a zealot? You think of somebody who's just kind of crazy about something so much so that they die for it, right? We need to be like that for Jesus, don't we? We need to be totally a zealot for Jesus. We need to be zealous and dedicated. This needs to be our main thing. Generally enthusiastic on behalf of someone or something, right? So we need to be generally enthusiastic about this. Whenever we get a chance to serve, it's talking about zealous for good works in this. Whenever it's talking about serving and we see an opportunity, this is saying that if we're in Jesus, we're His chosen and special treasure, we're His costly possession, and we're being cleansed so that we can get excited about what He's called us to do. We can go toward it like willingly and joyfully, not half-heartedly or reluctantly. So I seldom will paraphrase things because I'm always afraid of that, but I went ahead and kind of paraphrased this in a nutshell according to my own language, and this is kind of how I rethought it. And I encourage you to do this from time to time. When you've read a scripture, rethink it, and then put it in your own words and just see how it comes out. Not so that you can like try to define the scriptures according to your own terms, but so that you can begin to own it. But this is what I say from this scripture for me and for you. Jesus owned you because He bought you from slavery to sin so He could purify you from lawlessness so that you would be a radical follower of Him. In today's terms, I think that whole zealous literally would be what we would call radical. I think we need to be radical followers of Jesus. We need to be joyfully dedicated to it and really care and go toward Him and do it with great zeal. Put energy into it and be joyful about it. I want you to be a radical follower of Jesus, and I'll tell you why. This last scripture comes from Revelation chapter 3, verses 5 through 16, or 15 through 16. I know your works. And He said this to Laodicea, but I think it remains true today for the church. He says, I know your works, that you're neither hot nor cold. I could wish you were hot or cold. So then, because you are lukewarm and neither cold nor hot, I will vomit you out of my mouth. I don't think any of us want Jesus to say that about us. No one would want to feel like that way. And I've heard so many pastors, preachers try to explain this thing away, and they get into the hot or cold, and they talk about, you know, a lot of different things about it. Guys, I think He just really means it. He don't want us lukewarm. And regardless of what you think about hot and cold, I think we need to be on fire for Jesus. Okay? That's the way I'm going to describe it. And even if you're not, don't lie about it. If you're cold and you're not on fire for Jesus, at least admit it. He can work with you there. But if you're living a lie, it's like you can't do anything from there. He's just going to vomit you out of His mouth. He's going to have nothing to do with you. I don't want that for any of us. So whatever Jesus is calling us to do, I think we need to move toward Him. Why? We go back to the slide before this because Jesus owns you. He bought you with His own life from slavery to sin so He could purify you from lawlessness so that you would be a radical follower of Him. I think if you're radically following Jesus with all your heart, there's no chance of that lukewarmness making Him spew you out of His mouth. Wherever we are, let's just ask Jesus to set us on fire for Him, and let's just get busy about doing what He gives us opportunity to do. This shouldn't be drudgery to anybody. It needs to be the greatest joy of our heart. If God will allow you to buy some food to put in one of the food baskets, bring it in with joy. If He'll allow you to pack a shoebox, do it with joy. If He'll allow you to do anything for Him, do it with joy. Do it with zeal. Let's be all about it. Amen? Let's be all about it. We got that men's trip coming up. I'm all about it. I'm looking forward to that. I think it's going to be great. Let's be joyful about going. If God's calling you to go and you haven't signed up yet, drag your feet. He wants you to go because He wants to continue to teach you how to be separate from this world so He could use you. That's just one opportunity. Wow, there's a lot of different places. If that isn't what God's calling you to, there'll be other opportunities. You know, I've always said when we have an away mission trip somewhere, I don't expect everybody to go because if everybody went, the church would be empty on Sunday morning. There's some that are going to be called to stay, amen? And I praise the Lord for them too because it's all part of the same effort. There's some here. There's some there being sent. We all do it together. But you know what God's calling you to do, so you just need to obey Him. Okay? And that's where we need to be. Let's do it as radical followers today. Let's have a word of prayer before we have our time of invitation. Dear Father, I do pray that You'll help us to just be just crazy about Jesus. Everybody's afraid to be viewed as like a Jesus freak or something. But Lord, we don't want to just draw attention to ourselves being crazy, but what we do want to do is even if the world despises us, we want to be on fire for You because that's what you actually came to save us from was that lukewarmness. You came to save us from our slavery to sin. It's not enough to just say a prayer and wait for judgment day and hope we eke in. Lord, we need to be all about following You right now, and then we won't even have to worry about it. Not just doing good stuff either, but walking with You in that time of serving You, feeling that close connection with You, knowing that we are following You in the center of Your will because that's where You've sent us, and seeing Your activity in our lives, seeing how You're confirming that calling from time to time and day to day. Lord, that's where I want to be. That's where I want us to be as a church as well. So Lord, first step in that is to make sure our heart's right with Jesus. There's some who may not have truly made a commitment to Jesus that You would be their Lord and Savior. And Lord, You definitely came to save us, but it doesn't do us any good till we commit our heart to You. And so Lord, I just pray that You would just speak to us today and help us to commit to You anything You're calling us to lay down at the foot of the cross. Lord, You deserve our total commitment. You couldn't have done any more to have us. Gave Your life, bore our sins on that cross, felt the rejection of Your Father because of that sin, and yet You did it anyways. All just to have us because You wanted to save us from the destruction that we're in. Thank You, Jesus. Thank You, Jesus. Now let us fully commit ourselves to You. In Jesus' name, amen.
Just as I am without one plea, but that Thy blood was shed for me, and that Thou bid me come to Thee, O Lamb of God, I come. I come. not to rid my soul of one dark blot. To thee, whose blood can cleanse each spot, O Lamb of God, I come, just as I am, though tossed about with many a conflict, with many a doubt, fightings within and fears without, O Lamb of God, I come, just as I am, poor wretched, blind, sad, riches, healing of the mind. Yea, all I need in thee to find, O Lamb of God, I come, just as I am, thou wilt receive, will welcome, pardon, cleanse, relief, because thy promise I believe, O Lamb of God, I come.
That really, I mean, it does boil down to that, doesn't it? Because I'll be honest with you, I've never just physically been able to see everything proven to me, and a lot of people are waiting for that. But I believe in Jesus because I believe His promises, and I believe He's going to make good every one of them. And I'll tell you what, He has given me some examples to go by, and He had never broken any of them. He's always been faithful in every area of our lives. And even in the hard things that come into our life, do you ever notice how He used those to help teach you stuff, to help strengthen you and help you to learn things that you were going to need for the latter part of the journey? And to keep us going, keep us faithful. And so I just praise God that He doesn't waste anything. Even our bumps and bruises and our pains, He's going to use it all. For we know, my favorite scripture, Romans 8:28, for we know that all things work together to the good of those who love God. Amen. And are the called according to His purpose. Do you believe that? Yep. If you do, then nothing will knock you off of that path. You're going to stay with Jesus no matter what. Amen? Because He's going to use it all for good. I'm so glad you guys are here today. Julian? Okay.
Okay.
They're not going to look quite this pretty, but we got some copies, and they're back in on the table. Okay, so grab one of those if you want to pack a shoebox. Grab one for each box you pack, because it's got the little label that you can cut off, and it's got some packing instructions in it as well.
Mm-hmm.
Okay. Thank you. Yeah, it's going to be $9 a box. Yeah. I praise God that they can get them into these different countries. Can you imagine all over the world? It's pretty crazy. Yeah. Mm-hmm. Yeah. Yeah. All works together, doesn't it?
Birthday.
Anybody got a birthday?